May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Odiah Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel Barzilai Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now a great privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. It's now my great honor and privilege to present to you Son of Yisrael Abel Nebiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Learn What to Teach, and Then Teach What You've Learned. Today, I will show you why it is so important to learn what to teach and teach what you've learned. But first, let's establish in our mind where we must go to learn what to teach. If you can turn your books to Yahweh to page 157, Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. And it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." This comes from positive law number 53, which says, "The feast of Yahweh must be kept only at the place Yahweh chooses at the house of Yahweh." And we know that the feasts and Sabbaths are where we learn of Yahweh's way. Positive law number 21 says, "Reverence Yahweh in the house of Yahweh." And this comes from Leviticus 19, verse 30, if you can turn there. Leviticus 19, verse 30. I'll give you a page number here in a minute. Leviticus 19, verse 30, and it's on page 98. And it says, "You shall reverence me by keeping my Sabbaths at my sanctuary. I am Yahweh." Also remember what positive law number 172 says. Listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed servant, the overseer of the house of Yahweh. And that's found in Deuteronomy, if you can turn there. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and 19. And it says, "Yahweh, your father, will raise up for you a prophet like me from the midst of your own brothers, like him you must listen to. For this is what you asked of Yahweh on the day you gathered together, saying, 'Let us hear the voice of Yahweh our Father.' The voice of Yahweh our Father, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." Then Yahweh said to me, "What they have not spoken is truth. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I will judge him for it." And positive law number 174 says, "Listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed priest, the body of Kohanim of the house of Yahweh, under the direction of the overseer." And that comes from Deuteronomy 17, verse 9 through 11, which says, "Go to the priests who are Levites and the judge that is in office at that time. Ask for their decision, and they will give you the sentence of judgment." You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do. According to the law they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decision they give you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left from the sentence they pronounce for you. So we can clearly see where we are commanded by Yahweh to go to learn of His way, the house of Yahweh. In a sermon from Overseer Yisrael Hawkins dated 12/3/06, and it's verses 59 and 60. And it says, "Captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, captains of tens. Teachers, if you'll put teachers in that place right there, you would be better off to understand what Yahweh is telling us that we have got to do throughout all eternity, not just today." Now right there, we're getting ready for the huge number of people that would make the number Moshe brought out of the wilderness look like a dove sitting in the sea. So we can see that Pastor tells us that we must train to become teachers so we can be ready to teach the 2 billion of people coming to the house of Yahweh. The world is in the worst time of trouble, as we see in Matthew 24, verse 7. Disease epidemics, wars fighting, drought, natural disasters. Mankind would destroy himself if Yahweh didn't step in. The only way to save mankind is to diligently teach them the laws of Yahweh, and that's what we are being trained to do now. Positive law number 11 tells us to teach the book of the law to our children. And this comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, which is on page 152. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, and it says, "And you must teach them diligently to your children, and talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So in conclusion, I'd like to remind you to listen to Overseer Yisrael Hawkins so you can learn what to teach, so then you can teach what you've learned. And with that, if you all please stand.
And now, if you remain standing, I'd like to turn it over to the son of Yishel Abel, Deacon Yishel Abel Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'm going to be going out of the Peaceful Solution Grade 4 Unit, Do Not Steal. And Unit 2, which is talking about respect. And I'm going to start with lesson 2 here, which is entitled Respecting Others to Avoid Conflicts. Now, while I'm talking about the topic of respect, you know, Yeshua, he said to love your neighbor as yourself in Matthew chapter 22. And he said that that was the second greatest commandment. Well, that, love your neighbor as yourself, incorporates showing respect. Now, this lesson is entitled Respect Others to Avoid Conflict. And the purpose and objective of this lesson, students will learn that by respecting others and their possessions, they can prevent conflicts. And in Procedure 2, it says, showing respect to others and their belongings can prevent conflict. The word conflict means a problem or disagreement between two or more people. And it gives an example here. You wore your new necklace to school, and your friend wanted to see it. Instead of asking to look at it, she grabbed it and it broke. It says to ask students these questions. How was this respect shown? Well, she didn't ask before touching the necklace. As a result, she accidentally broke it. And how could this create a conflict? Well, the owner of the necklace could become upset because her necklace was broken. And how could the friend have shown respect to avoid the conflict? Well, she could have asked if she could touch the necklace. But moving on to procedure number 4, it says, when we show care and concern towards others and their belongings, we can avoid conflicts. And at a conclusion, it says, conclude the lesson by encouraging students to avoid conflicts by respecting others and their possessions. Admonish students to go the extra mile to avoid conflicts. Now, lesson three is entitled Respect Authority. And the purpose and objective, students will learn that it is beneficial to respect authority by obeying those in charge of them. And in procedure number three, it says having someone in authority over you is beneficial because they help to protect and guide you. For example, your parents are responsible for keeping you healthy, so they provide you with proper food and clothing. And then you're going to ask the students to name some other benefits of having an authority over them, but this can include that your parents keep you safe and guide you to make the right choices. Your teacher guides you in learning new things and stays with you throughout the day to make sure everyone stays safe. And even at a younger age, you can be placed in charge or you can be an authority over someone. And following instructions and obeying the one in authority shows respect for that authority. And this can make the one in authority feel pleased, glad, or thankful. And it also makes their jobs easier. When you do not follow instructions given by the one placed in charge, it shows disrespect to them. This can make the person in authority become upset, angry, frustrated, or disappointed. It also makes their jobs harder. It is beneficial to show respect to the authority by paying attention and obeying their instructions diligently. Some of the benefits they gain, or you may gain, include the respect and approval of the authority over you. So respect authority by obeying those who are in charge of you, and no matter how much you may be influenced to disobey, you should always choose to respect the authority by being obedient or by obeying. Now moving over to lesson four, which is entitled Let's Play It Safe. And the purpose and objective here, students will learn that obeying the rules of safety shows respect for others. And in procedure number two, you're going to tell the students that obeying the rules can keep them and others safe. And when they obey the rules, or when you obey the rules, it shows respect for others. For example, if the rule states no hitting, then when we obey that rule, we show care and concern for others by not hitting them. Now, what are some rules that you have that keep you safe at home? Well, they could be when someone knocks on the door, don't open the door unless you have permission to let the person in. Do not play with matches is another rule. And do not cook without supervision. Now, who are you showing respect to when you obey these rules? Well, you're showing respect to your parents or your guardians. And then some rules that may keep you safe on the school bus may be no standing while the bus is moving, no sticking hands out the window. And then when you are you showing respect to the bus driver and other students when you obey these rules? And what are some rules that keep you safe at school? Well, no running in the halls, listen to the teacher during a fire drill, and only one person on the slide at a time. And who are you showing respect to when you obey these rules? Well, the teacher, the principal, and the other students. Now, what might occur if you do not obey the rules at home, on the bus, or at school? Well, if the rule at home is no playing with matches, if that rule is not obeyed, then the house could burn down. If the rule on the school bus is no standing while the bus is in motion, if that rule is not obeyed, then someone could fall and be seriously hurt. If the rule at school, no running in the hallway, if that rule is not obeyed, then someone could fall and get hurt or hurt others. And when we follow the rules, we show respect for the authority who made the rules. And remember what I said in lesson two, or no, it was lesson one, which was the introduction to respect. No, lesson three. Sorry about that. Lesson three. And it said in procedure number five, following instructions and obeying the one in authority shows respect for them, and this can make the one in authority feel pleased, glad, or thankful, and it also makes their jobs easier. So it says, when we follow the rules, we show respect for the authority who made the rules. When we obey the rules, it keeps ourselves and others safe. And obeying rules shows respect for others and keeps them safe. And then you're going to inform the students that the greatest benefits will come to everyone as all rules promoted by the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program are kept and practiced by all. So, you know, always obey the rules that you're given, so it'll make the authority, the one over you, glad and pleased. And before I turn it over to the next speaker, the new prophetic word, pretty awesome, isn't it? But if you notice, it has a picture of Pastor here. And if you look over here, it's on 7th Avenue. But with that, I'll turn it over. If you'll all please stand, I'll turn it over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Yes, and I might add, I didn't even know that about that seven right there, but that's also the picture on there is from last July, 2014 issue of the Prophetic Word magazine, right? So, title of my sermon today is 7-Eleven Part 2 and the Philadelphia Message. It's been another fast-paced week with lots of things taking place in the world. But before I get into that, I want to kind of rehearse last week. I left off talking about the weather we had on July 7th on 7-7, showing that we had 7.73 inches of rain. Now remember, this is before sundown, or, you know, right at sundown. Remember I showed you the update was at 7:21:21, the KTXS news site. We had 7.73 inches of rain. And by the way, it beat the previous record, which was 6.54 inches. And when you take 7.73 and subtract it, it comes to 119, which is 17 times 7. Okay? Hope to get to that sermon here pretty soon about Psalm number 119. It's very awesome information. Okay, now, here's what I want. The numbers that I want you to get in your mind are the numbers that we've already been going over. If you think we're the only ones that have an idea about this, we're not. If you notice here, it says 777, 37, and 73 all mean the same thing. And let me tell you what it means. It says 777, 37, and 73 all mean 777 or three sevens. And there's, by the way, there's 37. I'm going to be talking about today mainly about the occurrences that took place on 7-14 this week. And there's 37 verses in your scriptures that are verse 7-14 that talk about this theme. And this theme is this. The 1,773rd verse of the King James and the 30,777th verse in the King James, both are numbers that contain the same numeric digits, and they both have a textual theme of the holiness of Yahweh and are both associated with the numbers 77, 37, and 73. And it talks about the holiness of Yahweh. It gives two scriptures, or get the first scripture. Actually, it talks about, you know, where it says, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh. In Isaiah 6:3, write this down for your notes. And also Revelation 4:8, where it talks about the four living creatures. They're full of eyes around and within, and they say, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh the Almighty. And that's the 30,777th verse of the King James Bible. So I want to try to get this in your head about these three sevens and what it means. Now that ties right in with the meaning of word number 37 in Strong's, and it means to make holy, to consecrate, to sanctify. I make holy. Well, how does Yahweh make us holy? Well, where does it begin? Where does holiness begin? It begins right here, like the great son of Israel, Abel, Nebaiah spoke about this morning, about coming to Yahweh's sanctuary on the Sabbath, Exodus 31:13, which is another palindrome, right? That we're set apart, we become holy by the keeping of Yahweh's laws. It also means to make holy, to sanctify, a special treasure, to regard as special. Remember Exodus 19:5? You're going to be a special treasure above all people because all the earth is mine. That's what Yahweh says. But we will be above all people because we keep all of Yahweh's 613 laws. Okay, now, and here's the article about the pattern of 714 verses. And there's actually 37 verses in the Holy Scriptures, 714 verses, or, you know, verse 714, like Genesis 714, Exodus 714, Daniel 714, those are just some of them. But there's a total of 714 verses where the theme is, the common theme is how nations, it says the Bible's 37:714 reference verses all have a theme running through them about how nations are called to enter his kingdom. And it some listen and enter, and others are lost. And so that's the theme. It means that peoples, nations, or groups being called by Yahweh to enter his kingdom. Okay, now this is what this is all about. Okay, now Strong's on 714 this week, on Tuesday, which is the third day of the week. I want to give you the meaning of 714 before I go into this. It means to wander, fugitive. Now, when you see that word wander, I want you to remember the Romans, the roaming Romans, and I want you to think of planets. And I'll show you why in a minute. And I also want you to remember about Genesis 4:12, where it talks about you will be a fugitive and a vagabond, ever searching for peace. Ever searching for peace, okay? Remember that word fugitive and meaning to wander. 714 also means, in the Greek, it means to avail, to be satisfactory, be content, be enough, sufficient, be sufficient, and it means to be satisfied. Remember what satiate meant? To be full, to be satisfied, to be complete, so on and so forth. It has that theme to it. Now, here's the definition of the word planet, because we're going to be talking about a planet today where something took place this week that Yahweh showed us a very special message through. The word planet means wanderer. Wanderer. Okay? And it, because it says that they seem to wander about among the fixed stars. The ancient Greek name for such a heavenly body was planets, which means wanderer. But we now know that the planets wander across the sky because they, like the planet Earth, are revolving around the sun. So it means wanderer. Now, on 714 this week, this is the actual snapshot. Okay? And by the way, if you notice, even my battery shows you how much battery life I had. 28%. This is at 7:05 a.m. when I took this shot. And it's talking about the New Horizons spacecraft has completed a historic flyby of Pluto, NASA says, making its closest pass at 7:49 a.m. Now, you know, you have the number 7, and then you have the number 49. Okay, that's a pretty strong, significant message there behind that number 7. Actually, you have a 7 and then times 7, you know, the 777 theme. Now, also look here. Right below it, it says the Obama deal prevents Iran from getting nuclear weapon. Okay? I'm going to show you here in a minute where when all this took place and when this was announced. Oh, by the way, notice right here it has pastors, one of pastors' lots, right there. 74. It was 74 degrees, I guess, at that time. Moving on. Okay, now, it talked about NASA's flyby, that the closest flyby of Pluto was going to be at 7:49 a.m. So I looked up 7:49, and it means, and it's from 7:48, and it means to reach a given point. To reach a given point. Did you know NASA, the NASA space program, their ultimate goal was to go to all the solar system, the planets in our solar system, and Pluto is the last one. It's the ninth one, okay? And I'm going to show you here in a minute that number nine and what it represents. And it also means to belong, reach, and meet. Remember, they reached an agreement that they started negotiating on with Iran actually 9 years ago in 2006. I'll show you that in a minute. But also, the voyage to Pluto began in 2006. It was a 9-year voyage, okay? And it's from 7:48, and it means long, lengthen, prolong. It also means to be long and continue long, okay? Now, the group of nations that came up with this agreement with Iran, let's start with that. They were called the P5 plus 1. The P5 plus 1 is a group of six world powers, three of them from the EU, top ministers in the European Union, which in 2006 joined together in diplomatic efforts with Iran with regard to its nuclear program. Well, why don't we call it the P7? Because weren't they negotiating with another nation? The six nations are China, France, Russia, United Kingdom, and the United States, and Germany, and Iran. That's seven, okay? And it started 9 years ago. P, the letter P, by the way, I'll give you just a quick definition. The Hebrew letter Pe, or P, is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Sure, that's a coincidence too. Now, President Obama, great President Obama here, he's President Obama's statement on nuclear deal with Iran. And here's what time it took place. 7 a.m. Eastern Time on July 14th. There's your 777 again. Remember, July 14th, 714 is 777. At 7 a.m., notice all these things were taking place. Now, do y'all remember this picture I showed you last week? I showed you this picture last week of the license, 7-Eleven backwards on both ends, the palindrome there. And then I showed you this picture of this evil-looking being snapping something in half, and the numbers 71117, which is 7-Eleven, it meets at the middle both ways. Okay? And it meant, if you remember the definition, it meant to snap. Y'all remember that? Well, guess what? In the Iranian deal, it says Iran sanctions to snap back if it violates nuclear deal. Iran has accepted a so-called snapback plan that will restore sanctions in 65 days if it violates a deal agreed with six world powers to curb the nuclear program, diplomats told Reuters. Coincidence? Here's what the prime minister of Iran had to say that morning, right after the deal was reached, on his Twitter page. He said, "The deal shows constructive engagement works. With this unnecessary crisis resolved, new horizons emerge with a focus on shared challenges." Remember what the name of that spacecraft was? New Horizons, right? Think about this for a minute. I'll show you how it all ties in. Here's proof that the NASA probe to Pluto launched 9 years ago to finally perform the first flyby. And that is from the Wire News. Now, I want you to think about NASA. Remember NASA? Remember how it's tied in with 7613? Remember 7613? It's from this word right here, NASA. And that word is word number 5375 right here, NASA. And it means to advance, arise, regard, respect, to lift up, to be lifted up, be exalted, rise up. Like Houston, we have liftoff, right? But it also ties in with the exaltation and rank and character of Yahweh's people. Okay, now, watch this. Before I go into this part here, this is the spiritual significance of the number 9, okay? I'm going to read this to you. It says, it is the last of the digits and thus marks the end and is significant in the conclusion of a matter. It is related to the number 6, 6 being the sum of its factors, 3 times 3 is 9 and 3 plus 3 is 6, and is thus significant of the end of man and the summation of all of man's works. 9 is therefore the number of finality. The number of finality. Please write that down. As in Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished. Final. As you know, yeah, it's okay to clap for Yahweh, you know. Yahweh's the one doing this. Now, here's a very odd coincidence. Pluto is how many billion miles away? 3.7. By the way, NASA also I better not say that. 3.7 billion miles away. There's that 3.7 or 777. This is from another science book here. It says, in 1930, scientists wanted to go to Pluto, the ninth planet. It is over 5.9 billion kilometers or 3.7 billion miles away. Okay? Y'all writing this down, I hope. This is from Business Insider. And it says, NASA just released the first clear photo ever of Pluto and its largest moon, Charon. Well, guess what? Guess how many million miles away when they took this shot that they were. This is the first shot, and it says that they were 3.7 million miles away when they took the shot. Isn't that a coincidence? What do you think? The first shot was 3.7 million miles away from Pluto when it used its LORI, that's Long Range Reconnaissance Imager, and that's one of the 7 instruments that are on this craft, this New Horizons spacecraft, which I'll show you in a moment. Here's some more proof. NASA probe makes history at Pluto on July 14th. New Horizons was about 3.7 million miles from Pluto when it took this first image on Wednesday, July 8th. Remember the word snap? You should be snapping on these things like right now. Right? Here's another article. Closing in, News Horizons snaps best pictures yet of Pluto. Okay? And that's where it shows that Pluto and its Texas-sized moon called Charon, it says Pluto photos taken on July 8th at a distance of 3.7 million miles as they're going into Pluto, as they're descending. Now remember Pluto's moon called Charon. It was discovered in June of 1978. Exactly 37 years after its discovery, see, Pluto's moon Charon is now being revealed. 37. Y'all writing this down, I hope, right? Because Yahweh's showing you a message. 37 years. Now, here's 11 mind-blowing facts about NASA's nuclear-powered mission to Pluto, and I'm just going to read a couple of them. I'm not going to read all 11. I don't have time. One of the facts is that the New Horizon is carrying the ashes of Pluto's discoverer named Clyde Tombaugh. Okay? The ashes of the man that discovered it. It was discovered in 1930. Clyde, well, you know who that is, right? Clyde? Tom means twin, like in the scripture, Thomas, Didymus, twin. And Ba means short man or little. And remember, Pluto's known as a dwarf planet. In fact, they were trying to degrade it to something else, right? Just like they degrade us because we're not one of the gas giants, right? Like the Catholic Church. So Clyde, you know, just like they degrade this place, right? Because they call us the little guys, right? We have something in common with him. Known as a dwarf planet, it's despised by some who wanted to degrade it from being a planet. Now, Tombaugh first discovered the dwarf planet in 1930, and he requested that his ashes be sent to space. But NASA did him one better when they attached a portion of his ashes to the upper deck of the New Horizons spacecraft before it launched in 2006. His remains are now on their way to the very planet he discovered. Now watch this. Tombaugh's ashes are just one of nine secret items on board the New Horizon that NASA sent up. And by the way, the New Horizon is powered with nuclear fuel. And you know what it's called? Plutonium. Because of plutonium, that's where they got their name, plutonium. Now watch this. Here's another fact. It says the New Horizon has seven instruments on board. Two of them have names based from a 50s television series. And there they are. There's the Lori camera that I was talking about. They have seven instruments on this thing. Coincidence? You decide. I'll do better than Fox News. I'll report you decide, right? Okay, now, getting into another portion of my sermon here. Hey, by the way, if you don't think the world has their deal here with the 777 and the 37 and the 17, well, I guess you forgot about this. The missing Malaysian Flight 17 and the other missing Malaysian flight number 370. Remember that? 131 days later. By the way, they were flying in a 777, right? And you know what's really strange about that? I looked these numbers up about a year ago when this took place, and 370 means where? In Strong's. And Strong's 3814, oh, by the way, this incident took place, it says the 8th of March, 2014, but the last contact they had with it was at 1700 hours UTC time on March 7th, or 3-7, right? I wonder what they've done with this. I don't know. It's a mystery because Strong's 3814 means mystery, secrecy. Remember the mystery of missing flight 370? Well, maybe soon we'll find out where it went. Remember, I called this 7-Eleven part 2, didn't I? Well, there's a reason. Did you know there's three seventh months in a year? It's kind of amazing. But I'm going to show you. Let's start here. Let's start with this. Pope Francis, as you know, he's coming to D.C., he's coming to New York, he's coming to D.C., and he's coming to Philadelphia. I told you this is the Philadelphia message, right? Pope Francis is the 266th Roman Catholic pontiff, okay? And the great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins brought you a lot of information on this already. Also, the great Kohan Michael talked about these things. He was elected on the 13th of March, 2013, and he went into office on the 16th of March. Now, but just remember, he's the 266th. You know, and coincidentally, that number 266 in Strong's means missing the mark, guilt, sin, fault, failure in an ethical sense, sinful deed. It also means this. The man so possessed by sin that he seems unable to exist without it. The man utterly given up to sin. See 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Who's that? Isn't that the man of sin? Don't want to get too deep into this. I don't have enough time, but it's from word number 264, which means the same thing, to sin. That's probably a coincidence. Now, I want to show you his apostolic journey itinerary for America. He's going to land, by the way, he's going to land on September 22nd in Washington, D.C. That's 70 days from 7:14. 70 days from 7:14. Write that down. Exactly 70 days, not 71, not 69. 70. Here's his next stop. He's just going to come at 4 o'clock that day. He's not doing anything. His next stop is on Wednesday, September 23rd. He'll be in Washington, D.C. at 9:15 a.m., which, by the way, 9:15 is when the Feast of Trumpets begins this year, with President Obama at the White House. That's on the 23rd. Did you know that September 23rd is the 266th day of the year? Did you know that? And there will be 99 days remaining in the year. The only time there's 267 is in a leap year, which we're not in right now. Now, the women may know this, and I'm not going to get too deep into it, but the gestation period for a baby, it says if one counts, this is, by the way, this is the definition of gestation. Gestation means, the normal limits of the human gestation. Oh, I'm sorry. It means the period of development of the young in viviparous animals from the time of fertilization of the octi or the ovum to birth. See also pregnancy. Okay, now it says, I want to read you the pertinent portion here. I can get to it. Right there. If one counts from the moment of conception, the length of time is 266 days. Or, as you'll see in a minute, that translates to 38 weeks. Right here. This is from parentology.com. I'm reading the pertinent portion. In cases where the date of conception is known precisely, and we know the dates, right? Such as with in vitro fertilization, the estimated date of delivery is calculating by adding 266 days to the date of conception. Now, y'all remember that number 38. Let me see if I can find this. Was shown in this picture right here. The woman with the bonnet. Y'all remember that? And we darken that. And it showed this number right here, 38. And we talked about that, and I gave you the definition of 38. And the definition of 38 was father of the sea. Remember, it means father of the sea. Now, remember Isaiah 60, verse 5, the abundance of the sea will be converted to you. Yisrael Hawkins is the father of the sea. He is the teacher of the multitudes, nations, languages, and tongues. 2 billion people will be coming. Now, the number 38 is meaning something else for the Catholic Church, though, because 38, if you remember the sermon I gave about the number 19, turn over to Genesis 19 real quick. Genesis 19. If you remember, Genesis 19 has 38 words in the first verse. And this is about Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? It has 38 words in the first verse. That's 19 times 2. Did you know that 19 is Yahweh's judgment, okay? It means Yahweh's judgment. And it has 38 verses in total. That's 19 times 2. It's showing Yahweh's judgment, finality of Yahweh's judgment. This is their 38. That's the world's 38. That's what's in store for them that have come to this Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, now let me get back to this. Okay, so the Pope, he's coming to the White House on the 23rd, and then on the 24th, he's going to be addressing a joint session of the U.S. Congress. This has never taken place in all of U.S. history, okay? And then, oh, by the way, when he goes to the White House, he'll be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, 1 plus 6 is 7, and that's the 266th day of the year, the 266th Pope, and word number 266, I showed you what it meant, and the gestation of this baby is 266 days from conception. After his deal on Thursday, he'll be in September 25th, he'll be in New York, and I told you last week he's going to be addressing the United Nations. Now I want to show you this year's calendar. It's kind of messy, don't worry, I'm going to read it to you. This is Yahweh's seventh new moon, and by the way, sometimes I get a little ahead of myself, and I think I buried this under here. I want to show it to you. Yeah, here it is. No. Let's see, what did I do with it? Did y'all know what the word September means? It means seven in Latin. Remember, September used to be the seventh month, and then the next month was October. That's octo, like octopus. And then you had November, and then you had December, or deca, or decade, means 10 in ancient Rome. So September is really the seventh month in ancient Rome. But there's also another seventh month during the seventh month. It's called Yahweh's seventh month. Okay? Now watch this. The new moon is the night of the 14th, which is the 15th. So let's count. Remember, he's going to be there on the 25th. Think 7-Eleven. Here's the first day, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. 7-11. 7-11, he's going to be at the UN making this speech. Do you think that's a coincidence? Now, this is really kind of interesting here. On Sunday of that week is when, or Saturday and Sunday, but Sunday is the big day when he has his sermon in Philadelphia. Okay, that's on 9/27. And what I found interesting about that, 9/27, I think of Daniel 9/27. Remember, the final week, the final seven? Well, he's going to be in Philadelphia on 9/27, and 9/27 is 9 times 3. Remember what the number 9 means, finality and judgment. The number 3 means complete. 9 times 3 is 27, and 2 plus 7 is 9. He's going to have a mass for the conclusion of the World Meeting of Families on Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and that will be on 7/13, Yahweh's Way. Remember the purple? But remember, their purple is found in Deuteronomy 32:32, where it says, their grapes, their clusters are filled with bitterness. They're the grapes of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that purple? That's what their clusters are filled with, bitterness, death, the grapes of Sodom. Remember the purple on their rainbow. Now, I got to show you this. This is the Vatican's own picture. They released this picture months ago about his Philadelphia trip. There he is with the cardinals behind him. I'll see you in Philadelphia. Do you notice the sevens there? Three sevens here, and then one there. Coincidence? You think Yahweh's onto something? I'll see you in Philadelphia. Well, let's go to Philadelphia. Let's go to Revelation 3, 7. Let's go to Revelation 3, 7 and see what the Philadelphia message is. It says, Philadelphia. Do you know this is the only place in the scripture where this is mentioned? Coincidence? Now let's read it. It says, the seventh era of the house of Yahweh, the reestablishment of the house of Yahweh, and to the Moloch of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, Pope Francis, huh? You think that's talking to Pope Francis? Oh no. Look to the side note for Philadelphia. It has side note D, see Revelation 7, 1 through 4, and it's talking about the seventh Moloch bringing the message, or the two witnesses actually. And it means also in E, brothers from the same womb. Well, you know, these are brothers from the same womb too, aren't they? But it's not talking about them. It's talking about the two witnesses. And to the Moloch, and it's talking to pastor specifically here, and to the Moloch of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. He says, I know your works, Israel Hawkins, and house of Yahweh in these last days. Behold, I have set before you an open door and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Not denied the name Yahweh, not denied the name Yahshua, not denied the authority behind it, the 613 laws. Not once, not even under the threat of death. Not even under the threat of imprisonment has this man turned from Yahweh in any way, shape, or form. And you, house of Yahweh, and everyone watching all over the world that's of the house of Yahweh, you too are part of this here. Behold, I give out of those of the assemblage of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not. But they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. Here's your message, house of Yahweh. This is to you right here. You are at the final end right here. Do y'all understand how Yahweh is stamping this with the finality? He says, because you, house of Yahweh and Israel Hawkins, have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you, protect you. Remember Psalm 91. I will protect you from the hour of temptation, which is here right now. Which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast your crown and let no man take your crown or woman. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father, and he will never go out of it. And I will write upon him the name of my Father and the name of the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of my Father from heaven, from my Father newly named. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, do you see where we're at? The Pluto incident and the signing of the peace agreement with Iran, this was all to show us where we're at in prophecy right now. And I want you to think 777, 37, 17. Remember all these numbers, okay? 73, because they all mean 777, okay? You'll see these patterns in the scripture. This is not numerology, okay? Yahweh's the one. He's the greatest mathematician ever. You know, he's the one that put this thing together, and he's showing us in no uncertain terms what is taking place. Now, just to make sure I didn't miss anything, well, praise Yahweh. At this time, my time's up, and may Yahweh bless you. And if you'll all please stand, it's my great pleasure and opportunity to present to you the great Kohen Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Going in the news, of course, the ever notable Jade Helm 15 that the state of Texas and other states are talking about. And of course, there's a lot of don't know, maybe what if tied into this Jade Helm 15, which is being reported as military exercise. But I would encourage our people. Our people, you know where the place of safety is at. Yeshua said, worry not about those who can destroy the body, the flesh, but those who could destroy the spirit. You have no need to worry about these things. And Jade Helm is a very small thing. Even if all of these reports would be true that are considered conspiracy, you know nuclear war is coming. That's no doubt. And it's not far off. I would set my mind in advance to do what I need to do to improve the character of myself and to be made in that image. And don't let these things pull you down or worry you in any which way, shape, or form. You're not going to stop them, and hiding in your house won't keep it from taking place. So keep those things in mind. Also, President Obama this last week, the first sitting president to ever tour a prison while sitting in the White House, actually took a prison tour, and he is calling for prison reform and education to go into our prisons. That's a huge step. And of course, that's an idea that Yisrael Hawkins has been talking about for many years. And also new scientific studies coming out showing more ideas that are going along with what Yisrael Hawkins has been teaching. A study was done and reported by PBS that they're now finding that kindergarten students, they did a study on kindergarten students until they were 25 years of age, and they found that teaching them social skills was more beneficial than academic skills. And the social skills that they were stressing upon was cooperation with others, listening to others, and helping others. Those three things were more beneficial than what they said the academic skills would pull off. Now, consider that, because all three of those things and more are taught in our pre-K level of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That's right. And consider, where did you hear that you need more than just reading, writing, and arithmetic, but you also need to implement character education? Of course, that's in the foreword of every Peaceful Solution Character Education book. Now, that study also shows that these things are beneficial, this education. But the next article, pay close attention, because then it talks about how our children are being disconnected. And the disconnection comes forth from the media intake. They're saying video games, smartphones, numerous texts, thousands of texts, where children are doing things, they're becoming numb, and they're saying it's a disconnection. Well, keep in mind what Pastor brought out in the book of Israel, making the connection to Yahweh. If we allow our children to have these things, if we're doing it, well, scientific studies are showing that we're severing a connection, and it's a connection, they say, to listen to authority. So that's what we're doing. When we partake of these things, we're disconnecting. Planned Parenthood actually caught this last week or the week before last. It's being reported now that they're selling body parts, and they actually have a representative of Planned Parenthood actually trying to explain how much these body parts cost. And listen to how disgusting it is. They even talk about how they'll huddle and have a meeting to determine how far the child is that's going to be aborted and how the best way to do it so they can harvest the part they need the most to sell to maximize the money from this. Now, of course, Congress is crying out saying that this is horrific, but it makes you wonder why no one's crying out about the murders taking place and why that's not horrific. So I hope this turns everyone's stomach and you can see how disgusting the way of Cain is, and how when we partake of this, we're right along with the murder and the harvesting and the selling of innocent children that haven't even got an opportunity to do anything, and they're already being sentenced to death. Also, the Army General saying that to defeat ISIS will take 10 to 20 years. That's what they're looking at. U.S. is spending $4 million per hour on the war in Afghanistan. They've spent $700 billion thus far in a war that has been declared unsuccessful. Unsuccessful. Think what the peaceful solution could do with 1 hour of that money and 30 days of their attention. You could save somebody billions of dollars. Also, rise in heroin addicts, and they're saying women are more than men, but it's a rise in heroin addicts like we've never seen before, and most of these are coming off prescription painkillers. Once they can't get their prescription anymore, they're turning to heroin. Then Japan. Japan is looking to change its constitution that was advised and overseen by the United States during World War II, after World War II. Their constitution reads that Japan as a country shall not engage in any war unless attacked first. They're wanting to reinterpret that as Japan shall not engage in any war unless attacked or an ally of theirs is attacked first. Keep in mind, because that opens the door to become a part of NATO, to assist in NATO, which is the army of the Pope, which Japan sets right off the coast of China. And China is telling them, you better not do it. We don't want you to do it. But look at what's taking place. And then last but not least, eggs. The price of eggs are soaring due to bird flu. They're reporting on this one news article, it's $1.85 for store-bought eggs, but free-roaming eggs now are selling for $4 to $6 a dozen. So keep that in mind, because that's expensive, and everything that's baked goes right along with that. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone want to go ahead and please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Hey, we got a crowd here today. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. News, this egg business, they said the free roaming eggs like we have here is up to $6 a dozen. We're going to have to put some guards on that chicken house. It's like golden eggs. A hen that lays the old golden eggs. All women interested in home economics. Well, every woman's got to be interested in that, surely. That's a must. Please sign up at the North office or South office during their working hours. We will begin the classes on the 26th, 7/26/15. Now, this is not just a home economics class. It's a how to rejoice and know in learning and learning everyday things, practicing everyday things, how to actually find joy in it. So you'll be whoopity-doo when the husband comes home and finds you smiling. Oh, that's a great thing. Learning to rejoice in your work. It will include simple four-ingredient recipes and also the more elaborate recipes. It will includes cooking. One of the things that most people don't know how to do, and it's hard to learn, but we're going to have the best teachers in the world, is how to make roti. Praise Yahweh. Yeah. And also beef or chicken tamales. Praise Yahweh for that. I love them. Keeping the kitchen clean until you cook or while you're cooking, so you won't have a big mess there to make you disgusted with having to fix a meal. This is very important. Clean up after yourself as you go. Now, back to what Yahweh is wanting us to grasp here. And thing that Yahweh is showing us or showing the world right now, of course, is that Yahweh is offering them salvation in these last days. He's also offering them peace right now through his house. Now, he's making the offer as he did before, and of course it's being refused. But right now, Yisrael Hawkins says government leaders and Hollywood professionals united with him could bring peace in this news article. This is getting a lot of attention. I'm being told that several new agencies that has never run our news articles have asked for this one. And it's up right now as of about 7 o'clock or 6:30 this morning when they called me on it. It was up to 133 million. Yeah. That's a blast. Set off that blast. That's boom. That was Yahweh doing that. Y'all heard that, didn't you? But the new agencies, WSMV television affiliate in Nashville reaches over 3 million people. WNEM view release television affiliate. This one, too, this is in Saginaw Bay, Michigan, and it reaches over 2 million people. The KWES View Release television affiliate, this one is in Midland, Odessa, Big Springs, Texas area. That one is going over a million people. KION, television affiliate, Saltiness, California, I guess, over 2 million people. So you can see we're reaching a lot of people with this message that we could have peace. And Yahweh is the one that guided this. I didn't plan it to be along with this great information that the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins just brought out. I didn't purposely write that article and get it in, send it out to the news medias on a certain day just but it's all flowing together. It's just Yahweh is putting it together and guiding us. The number 266. That they gave the Pope Francis. Now, whether that's the correct number of popes or not, that makes no difference. You know, they're saying Kefa was one of them, and the Apostle Kefa condemned everything the Catholic Church is doing. And of course, he was hung upside down for it and murdered, of course. But whether or not the number is 266 popes, that doesn't make any difference. The fact is they gave him this number. We have it in writing. They issued him this number of 266. And, of course, Jorge. Jorge is his name, alias Jorge. What was the last? I forgot what the last one was. Whore. The Great Whore. Great Whore. I don't know if Benjamin brought that out, but this is what Revelation 17 calls this. And his name just so-called, I mean, it just happens to be Whore. And the last part of it, hey, Bergoglio. I don't know yet what that stands for, but he changed his name to Francis, and they gave him the number 266. That means, if you want to look it up, that means it comes from 264. It means sin, sinful, offensive. The word means a missing of the mark. But this this meaning is the most comprehensive term for moral deviation. It is used of sin, a principle or a principle or source of action. Of action by this system now, and remember this, what I'm telling you, because this is the next part of my sermon here, or an inward element producing acts. You got to remember now that Jeremiah 23:14 and 23:15, Yahweh shows us that this went forth from the prophets of Jerusalem, and Yahweh said in Isaiah, he said, if Yahweh hadn't have saved a remnant, then we would all be like these Sodomites. If Yahweh hadn't have saved a remnant, and of course we are that remnant, praise Yahweh. Otherwise, we would be out there with them, wouldn't we? But right now, Yahweh is offering peace to the world, and it's going out to just about every news agency in the world, Yahweh is forcing them to show their reaction at this time. He's actually forcing it. Like he forced them to show that I was the most hated man. Yahweh's servant is the most hated man on the face of the earth. And I think that still stands. I could get out near the world and get some mean looks. But if you remember this, Yahweh is making the religions. Remember this as you hear the rest of this sermon. Keep this in your mind. Yahweh is making the religions. If you remember this, one main one and then ten other religions that are supporting, and there's 10 other religions that Yahweh says is going to turn on the Vatican, and they're going to burn her with fire. If you remember, too, before the sanctions hit Russia, the Pope went to see Putin, and he said, Putin announced on the news after the Pope left, don't mess with our religion. The same thing China said. China doesn't want any part of the Pope's religion. Malachi Martin said that Mary is going to make war with all of those who will not worship her. And, of course, Malachi Martin said she's going to win. I think she's going to win. Well, of course, she's the one that's behind this. They can no longer pretend to keep Yahweh's laws. You know, for all these years, the Catholic Church, before the house of Yahweh started exposing them with the scriptures, the Catholic Church and the people who belonged to the Catholic Church pretended, or actually many of them actually thought they were doing the will of the Creator. They didn't even know the will of that God didn't create the earth. The gods didn't create the earth. The gods are running the earth right now. Yahweh is allowing it, and that's the reason he's making this so clear from the Supreme Court right now, making known their decision to reject his laws. Now, this is going to all the world. We're showing our face, as the other article that I brought out said, America is now showing her face to all the world. Through the Catholic Church, through the orders of the Catholic Church. Witness this. What came next is fully these religions doing. And this is what you've got to witness. Yahweh is showing this last time, as you remember in Matthew 24:14. He says this message is going to be preached by the one who bears witness. In all the world, to all the world, this wonderful message of peace, joy, love, health, everything. It's going to be preached to all the world, then the end. Then the end. You add to that Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and it says this man of sin is going to be revealed. Well, it does reveal him with a number, but also he fits the number. He fits this description. Know them by their fruits, Yahshua said in Matthew 7. Nuclear wars have been held back by Yahweh himself. Yes, these nuclear wars have been held back until Yahweh can make this offer clear. And those who want to accept it, those who want to accept righteousness, of course, nuclear wars have been held back to prove the Supreme Court's decision, and then we have it, the Supreme Court's decision. Remember Deuteronomy 3:15, that's 30:15, I got the wrong number written down. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 20, I do believe. I call heaven and earth to witness what Yahweh is setting before mankind. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. That's the reason we've got to all, you know, get this in our heads and see this history as it takes place. It's going to be history tomorrow, you know, the day after, but throughout all eternity, you are going to teach it. You're being tried heavily now. I know this. I know that life is not easy. I can't remember ever promising you that it would be. I think, in fact, I told you that, there's three out of four was going to fall away, and if you didn't brace yourself and determine that nothing, not even death, would turn you, then you would be part of the history of those who leave. Real news, right now. Pope Francis, God, not Yahweh now, but God, the gods, Genesis 3:5, do this and you'll be like the gods. You won't be like Yahweh, righteous like Yahweh, but do this and you'll be like the gods. And this is the desirable way to be. You desire to hit someone when they make you angry. You desire to cause people trouble, to bear false witness, to say bad things. That's your desires that come into your mind like it did with Cain. Those are what we're going through right now. And Yeshua said, he who overcomes will sit with me in my kingdom. And we have the left-hand side of Yahweh on that throne, if you remember. That's promised to this generation. Yes. Well, he says, the gods has instructed me, this is Francis doing the speaking, gods has instructed me to revise the Ten Commandments. And of course, the Supreme Court says the Scriptures, the Supreme Court of the earth, the Supreme Courts of the earth, which includes the quartet. Now, if you remember, Malachi Martin pointed this out, that the quartet would be in this contest with the Pope, and the Pope hopes to come out on top, but so does, like the Jesuit priest, you know, who was the Jesuit priesthood was created to actually do the murders for the Catholic Church. And the Jesuit priesthood actually became stronger than those who paid for them. So that's the reason we're seeing a Jesuit priesthood as a pope now. Before him, we had a man named Benedict that was actually one of Hitler's boys. I don't know if anyone knew that or not, but there's quite a bit of history on him. And, of course, he was forced, but he was brought up under that regime and then went right straight into the Catholic Church. You know, it seems like a tie there, like you would find between the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, and Rome, of course. But anyway, now the gods have told him to change the commandments, or to rewrite the commandments, revise the Ten Commandments. And of course, this must be approved by the ones he is leading, the nations. Now, those who won't pay attention to this and won't do what the Pope says, of course, remember the history, of course, of the system in Israel and in Rome. Mark 7, we need to read that. Mark 7:9, I believe it is. Hope I don't have that wrong, but it doesn't sound right. Mark 7:9. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeshua said to these Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, Essenes, Herodians, then he said to them, how well you reject the laws of Yahweh. Well, this is the fruits of course, the Catholic Church, and this is what we're seeing take place here when he said the gods told him to rewrite these Ten Commandments. The best I can remember in Revelations 22. Revelations 22, you got that? Revelations 22. The last three verses of that pronounces a curse on anyone who would change these prophecies in any way. But he's saying, the God said above Yahshua now, if you want to read that in Revelations, you can see that he's saying, the gods are telling me to rewrite these no matter what Yahshua says, which means they're pushing Yahshua out too, so they're showing rejection to him as well as to Yahweh. As well as to Yahweh. The reason I don't notice the heat is because I got my mind so glued to this scripture, and I do this, praise Yahweh. And when your interest becomes that strong, you'll sit and become dehydrated. Then you'll have to get you some sugar, salt water. Remember this, because you'll get to feeling real bad and you'll think you're going to have a heart attack or you're feeling bad and can't go to work and so forth. Well, sugar, salt water. Remember that article I read you from the doctor? The doctor? Sugar, salt water. That's what when they take you in the ambulance to the hospital and you think you're going to die before you get to the hospital, that if they have time, they'll put a syringe in your vein and they'll start pumping sugar, salt water in your vein. Sugar, salt water. Well, you can drink it before you get there and run from the hospital when you get out of the ambulance. But right now, get your mind on this that I'm telling you here. Do you see what he's saying here? Full well, this is the fathers of the one who runs the Vatican City right now. They didn't begin with Kefa, and they didn't begin with the ones that he named in the Holy Scripture. They began with Constantine, as history says, and of course that's when they first started naming the popes. But nevertheless, this pope has 266 as his number. It's glued to him. It's stationary. He can't change it. He can't even change it himself. He's the man of sin. But full well you do reject the laws of Yahweh, so you may keep your traditions. Followed, of course, by the commandments of the gods, or Satan herself. 13, making the laws of Yahweh of none effect. Yahweh's laws would stop fornication. Yahweh's laws would stop sodomy. Yahweh's laws would stop bestiality. It would stop all of these things that are causing the diseases right now. These laws that the system that now sits on seven hills is running the whole world from there. Yes, all the nations of the earth are worshiping gods and lords. How did that come about? Remember, they took the book of Yahweh out of existence for how many years? 1917. Get that number. It's a great thing that Yahweh shows in that number right there. 1917 years. Yes. Isn't that something? Yahshua ascended from the earth in 33 A.C.E. Subtract that from 2015, you know what you get? 1982. 1982 was when the house of Yahweh was established. Yes. Think of this. Yahshua's been sitting at the side of Yahweh in this learning process with his full use of his subconscious mind for 1917 years. Right now. you think of what Yahweh has to go through or went through to calculate the protection of his house and yet let it have trials and tribulation and have it prove that I'm the most hated man on earth. All of these things were calculated out by Yahweh before the earth began. Now, how long would it take Yahshua to catch up with Yahweh? a little more than 1917 years. You could bet on that. How long is it going to take us to catch Yahshua? We never will. But we'll be running a close second if we just set our mind to it, right? Well, right now, he says, making the law. This was their forefathers doing this, and the popes, every pope has done this since them. And their fathers before them persecuted Yahweh's prophets and said, we don't want Yahweh to rule over us. Remember 1 Samuel 8? And Yahweh said, they turn back to the gods. They want to follow gods. Well, that's what they're doing today. And Yahshua said, making the laws of Yahweh of none effect through your traditions, you have handed down, traditions you have handed down, and that's what they're doing now, and lies, they lie like dogs all the time. They hide things from the public. Well, no longer are they able to hide it now. That we have exposed them, as it, like Yahshua did. We've exposed them, and of course they would like to kill us, but they can't. You have handed down, and many other similar things you do, he said. The history. Look at verse. Look at verse 21 also. Verse 21. For within. Out of the heart of man, out of the heart of you people who change Yahweh's laws, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries. You know, this is one of the commandments the Pope wants to change because it actually means homosexuality. And of course, he wants to change this commandment, take it out totally, this article says, and make up another one to go with it. And of course, they already changed the Sabbath day, remember, from seventh day of the week till the first day of the week. They only changed it for themselves. And of course, this is bringing curses upon them because they cut themselves off from Yahweh and the great knowledge that he could be giving them. Like he's giving Yahshua right now, who sits there 24 hours a day with him. Yes, learning from Yahweh. Adulteries, from this comes adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, lust, wickedness, deceit, deceiving the whole world, in fact, lasciviousness, that's the license to sin, or her name was Grace. Grace, she's graced the books of the Catholic Church for centuries now. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. That's the number 666. Look at the next verse there, 23. All these evil, remember, be evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. Evil like the God. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In Constitution, Constantine, he brought forth the same thing, the Supreme Court's ruling. Constantine brought forth the same thing. He took away the worship of Yahweh. He gave the ruler, he gave the ruled by the Roman Catholic Church world the name of two gods. That's the reason you find people worshiping gods and lords today. The truth was never known to them until the house of Yahweh started bringing it out. They're still worshiping today. That is the gods of the nations of the world are worshiping this today. Now in Revelation 13, all the world, we better turn to that and read it. Revelation 13, we see this beast right here. We see what is taking place with the Supreme Court. We see this beast that ruled. And of course, this was the one that rose up first. This was come from the forefathers that turned against Samuel, saying, "We want a king," came from the prophets who took by force, Jeremiah was speaking of in Jeremiah 23, who took by force the temple. That was the house of Yahweh that Solomon built, took by force. And then the same Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes that finally destroyed the temple had all the treasure from the house of Yahweh and all the wealth of Jerusalem, of the families they murdered. Yes, all of that was taken to Rome, every bit of it. Killed them by the thousands, tried to wipe them out completely. There was no one to occupy Jerusalem or Mount Zion Hill after they got through with it. That's the reason other people took over that mountain. And of course, later on, some of these that were scattered into other nations started coming back and wanting it back, but they're not getting it back. And this is something that the Pope won't recognize because Netanyahu stopped the peace treaty and said, "No, I'm not going to go through with this. This would be detrimental to Israel." Well, the Pope has never recognized Israel as a state, but now it's recognizing the Palestinians as a state. There's a lot behind this also that needs to be brought out for everyone to understand it. But notice now this beast now that rises up. Daniel talked about it from Daniel 2, clear on through Daniel 7, and then actually clear on to the end in chapter 12 of Daniel. He says, "I stood upon the sound of the sea, and I saw this beast rising up out of the sea." Well, what is sea? Now listen, what is sea? What is the word sea there in verse 1? Revelation 13, verse 1, sea. Revelation 17, 15 tells you what it is. It's multitudes, nations, and tongues. Yes, he rose up where there's multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's what distinguishes this beast from the two-horned beast, the Catholic Protestant religion that rises up in verse 11. He rises up where there is no multitudes, nations, and tongues. Where could that be? What land could you find? Hey, listen to me now. What land can you find in the world today? What land could you find at that time, even the day this was written, that didn't have multitudes, nations, and tongues? It wasn't discovered even until 1492. America. This one that rises up where there is no multitudes, nations, and tongues is the United States with the Catholic and the Protestant two horns instead of one. It's very simple. The sea is multitudes, says Revelation 17, 15. It's multitudes, nations, and tongues, having seven heads. What are these seven heads, for heaven's sake? Seven heads. Revelation 17, 9 tells you. It's seven hills. Find me a city that sets on seven hills other than Rome, who actually rules as a whore over the religions of the earth, because she created them. And a city, it's a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. A man would have to be with a mind of a peaint before he could understand that right there. Anyone could understand that. Even a five-year-old child, right? I forgot, you're six now, right? They're quick to point that out because they do understand it. Seven heads. The ten horns are ten religions that is also shown in chapter 17 and 18 that is going to turn on the Pope, the religions that she is after right now and controlling and got worshiping gods instead of Yahweh. They're going to turn on the Pope and actually destroy the Pope. Well, let's quickly read on here. Verse 2, last part, the dragon is the one that gives Satan his seat and great authority. They even admit that. Malachi Martin admitted that. And he said, Mary, And of course, Jeremiah 44 shows Mary, this Mary is the queen of heaven that got them into this trouble to begin with. And her God, she was the one that promoted sin in Genesis 3:5. But the dragon, notice last part of verse 2, gave this beast, that sits on the seven hills of Rome, the city that sits on seven hills that rules the kings. Yes, the dragon gave him his seat and his throne and great authority. Great authority. It didn't come from Yahweh. That is, Yahweh allowed it to come from Satan. To sit on seven hills, moved him to the seven hills, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. That was from the black plague. His deadly wound was healed. That released, by the way, the book of Yahweh to the people after many, many years. Healed, and all the world wondered after. That is, they followed after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. Yes, they worshiped. You remember, worship means to obey. Remember that? Worship means to obey. That's Romans 6:16. You belong to whom you obey. Worship means obey, follow, serve. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war? So this shows you that he's a war machine and rules by force, which the Holy Roman Empire did and is still doing it. The quartet is the Roman army right now. The police force in the United States wears a Roman shield as a badge. If you look at it, it's an exact replica of the Roman shield. Everything is Roman here in the United States. And there was even the holidays that they teach in the school, that's Roman. It's not the scriptures. You can't teach the scripture. You can't teach the Ten Commandments. But you can teach Halloween, Christmas, Easter, all of these pagan God days. That's what's taught. You can even teach sodomy in the schools. It's being taught in the school. Speaking great things. Now here's what's coming out of Francis's mouth right now, and we're in the last days now, talking to Francis instead of the earlier popes, Constantine, who changed the Sabbath. Great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war war for 42 moons. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy. This is the last part of this man's rule. This is the last part of this system's rule right here. It gives it to you right here and been held back by Yahweh himself until he can prove to heaven and earth and you, of course, that you can believe what he says. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh. That's what they have done, the Catholic Church. And, of course, morality. The Pope has already said that if you teach morality, you've got to stop this teaching morals. You've got to let the people have their rights. And you've got to accept these people that rape your children. Yes, accept them. They may be living as husband and wife. You got to accept them. Well, of course, a wife is described in the scriptures. No one ever thought about that at the Supreme Court, I don't guess. Marriage is also described in the scriptures. So you can see every move they make, they're not asking Yahweh by any means. They're being totally guided by Satan here, which the scripture says. They blaspheme Yahweh and blaspheme his name and his house. And those who dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given unto them. Now that is in the first part now, and it's only given up to a certain portion of time, until, as Daniel showed, the word until. And then, Yeshua said, no, you're not going to prevail against my house from now on. No more. My house is going to be established. It's going to be protected, he says. All these prophecies, not one of them shall fail, he said. Over tribes, it's given to him over tribes and peoples and languages, and all who dwell upon the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. Well, of course, you're so showed in Revelations 22:14, whose names are written in the book of life. Remember? Remember that? Revelations 22:14. You're shown, he who keeps the commandments of Yahweh. Blessed are those who keep the laws of Yahweh, that they may have right to the tree of life. That's the book of life of the Lamb. Now look at verse 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, not the sea this time, where there's no multitudes, nations, and tongues. This distinguishes this beast of the United States, the two horns, the Catholic and Protestant rule the United States, coming up out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb. Yes, for years now, the Catholic Church and the Protestants pretended they were doing righteousness. They can't pretend anymore. We're exposing their sin. But then I notice other people now are seeing this, other preachers. Billy Graham's son just came out speaking against sin and this Supreme Court judgment that was just made. The Supreme Court. But Yahweh, as I said to begin with, he had to prove this. He had to prove to heaven and earth that they totally rejected him and his laws while he was actually holding them back from killing themselves, holding back the wars. Well, now he's proven it. There's no reason now to hold it back, right? Unless it be one of us. Two horns like a lamb. But he spoke like a dragon. Yes, that's the way we're handling it now. I was so glad to see this where the president is not standing with it. He sees the unjustice, justice. You know where that word comes from? It comes from Judah. Genesis 49. That's where they get it. We're going to go into it deeper next week, next Sabbath. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast before him and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. You see that? This beast right now, the Supreme Court. Did you get that? He causes the Supreme Court is the one that gives you the laws of America. And now he is causing you to worship this first beast. How? Just by this same ruling. Putting sodomy in the schools, keeping the laws of Yahweh out of the schools, out of anything. They attack all forms of holiness, all forms of righteousness. And now they're saying, it's right. It's not wrong to commit sodomy. It's right. They're saying that. And they're saying that to all the world. Notice, they cause the earth and those who dwell upon it to worship this beast whose deadly wound was healed, who's bringing forth the sodomy into our schools through the Supreme Court of America. I'm going over, I know, and next week we will take up right here, Yahweh willing, with this and continue. But remember, Yahweh proved this. He proves it to heaven and earth, exactly what he said in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. He proved what has just taken place in the courts. And several other preachers now has been reading our literature, and they're backing us in this, and they're coming against the sin. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!